We would like to welcome you to the January 11th, 2023 meeting of the Savannah Historic District Board of Review. The purpose of this board is to promote the educational, cultural, economic, and general welfare of the city of Savannah. This board is appointed by City Council and is not affiliated with any for-profit or nonprofit organization. Preservation standards, visual compatibility factors, and design standards established in the City of Savannah zoning ordinance are the basis for evaluating the compatibility of changes and new development. The board cannot consider criteria not specifically identified within the ordinance. Items such as landscaping, parking availability, traffic, noise, and impact on property values are not within the board's purview and cannot be a factor in the issuance or denial of a certificate of appropriateness. Similarly, personal preferences will not be the basis for a decision. At this time, if you are joining us virtually, please make sure that you mute yourselves and locate your control panel to use the raise your hand feature. And if you are joining us here in person, please make sure that your cell phone is on silent. Sign postings. Members of the board receive packages containing applications in the week before the meeting and individually visit the sites of the projects. If a project is not properly posted, it is removed from the agenda and rescheduled. Were there any projects that were not posted this month? Okay, hearing none, we will go ahead and move on to the consent agenda. These agenda items have been found by the preservation officer to be in accordance with the preservation standards, visual compatibility factors, and design standards, and have apparent consensus with no known objections from the public. At this time, I'll now read the three items that are on our consent agenda. The petition of Ward Architecture and Preservation, 22-005840-COA, 118 East Jones Street Rehabilitation. The petition of Pantheon ADC, 22-005842-COA, 200 West Bryan Street, amendment to approved brick, 21-002857-COA. And lastly, the petition of Hanson Architects, 22-005843-COA, 226 East Bryan Street and 9 Lincoln Street, demolition of non-contributing addition and fences. Is there any member of the public or any board member who wishes to remove an item from the consent agenda to the regular agenda? Okay, hearing none, is there a motion for approval of the consent agenda?
So moved.
Higgins, second.
Thank you, Mr. Higgins. We'll do a voice vote for this, excuse me. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. With that, the items that are on the consent agenda have been passed. The adoption of the agenda for today's meeting. Is there a motion for approval of the agenda?
So moved.
Thank you, Mr. Altshuler.
Second.
Nantu.
Thank you, Ms. Taylor. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Minutes from the previous two meetings are attached to the agenda. Those from December 14th and then also from those from November 9th have been revised as you requested, Mr. Thompson. So all in favor of those, please say aye.
Aye.
Any, oh, sorry. I need a motion.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I was going to move, Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Thompson.
Thompson.
Do we have a second?
Approval of the December 14th and the November 9th meeting minutes.
Okay. And you second. Okay. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Awesome. Any opposed? Okay. There are no items requested to be removed from the final agenda. There was nothing listed on the continued agenda, and there was no requests for extensions, which is surprising. So we will go ahead and move on to the regular agenda, and I will let you announce, because I need to recuse myself for the first item on the agenda.
You're just going to read from here?
Yeah, just read the thing.
Okay, so we're going to start with the petition of Harley Krinsky, 22-005388-COA, 301 Alice Street, change status of building from contributing to non-contributing. So Leah, you want to go ahead?
Okay, thank you. This is Leah. The
applicant is requesting approval to change the status of 301 Alice Street from contributing to non-contributing in the Landmark District. I'm going to show you some photographs and some context of the area. Oh, just for reference, this is the building that we're talking about when you see it in the photographs. This building. All right. On Alice Street was added as a contributing building to the historic building map in 2010 as part of a larger effort, which ultimately added 112 buildings as contributing with an age range from 1820 to 1964. The documentation provided provided by the consultant in the applicant's submittal packet appears to demonstrate that the building was constructed in 1951 or 1952, as it does not appear on the 1950 Sanborn map, but is visible on the 1953 Sanborn map and the 1955 aerial. The reason I mention that is because our documentation from 2010 says circa 1940. Excuse me, they're all named public, so that's not very helpful. Staff did locate a letter in our records entitled Public Notice, which appears to have been mailed on November 5th, 2010 to all property owners of the 112 buildings. This letter informs the recipients of two public meetings that were to take place later the same month. Additionally, there would have been a third opportunity for public comment when heard at City Council later in that same year. It's clear that there was proper public notice made. In 2010, the mayor and aldermen voted to add the 112 buildings, including 301 Alice Street, as contributing because the buildings fit within the context and maintained historic integrity. The relevant ordinance section to list or delist a historic building or to amend a contributing resources map is section 3.16.7. And there's three elements that you have to submit to be able to be heard, and that is you have to be a property owner or another appropriate designee, and the applicant was the property owner, so that that standard is met. There was a pre-application conference heard, so that standard was met. And then an application to amend a contributing resources map shall be submitted to the planning director, including any supporting documentation requested. So an application with supporting documentation, including a structural assessment report, has been received. I wanted to show that submittal packet. It was only the structural analysis. No, it's not. So they submitted sort of a brief history, an analysis of the property. That was the consultant. Some Sanborn map research, some photos, and then a limited condition assessment report from SAP Structural Engineering, which you can see here. All right. So. All right, so the Savannah Downtown Historic District Board of Review is charged with evaluating this request based on the criteria in section 3.16.4.B of the Historic District Ordinance. Show that now. Find the staff report. There we go. All right, so I had a little typo here where it says A, it should have said B. But these are the criteria that are used, and these were the criteria that were used when the preservation officer at that time evaluated each of the 112 properties to determine whether or not the building should be listed or not, or should that preservation officer should recommend that they be listed to city council. So basically what you're now being charged with is reassessing to see if this building still meets one of these criteria or maybe never did. So one is the building associated with events that have made a significant contribution to the broad patterns of our history. Two is associated with the lives of persons significant in our past. Three embodies the distinctive characteristics of a type, period, or method of construction that represents the work of a master. I'm not going to read the rest. That basically means a famous architect really designed it, is usually what that means. And four, has yielded or may be likely to yield information important to prehistory or history. That generally applies to archaeology. So with regard to the finding for those criteria, staff's finding is that the mayor and aldermen voted in 2010 to add 301 Alice Street as a contributing building, finding that the building fit within the context and the building maintained historic integrity at that time. Additionally, comparing the photograph from the 2010 analysis of buildings eligible for designation to the building today, the building has not changed in any significant manner, obviously, from staff's limited perspective of the exterior and from the public right-of-way. Therefore, staff finds that 301 Alice Street still maintains the same historic same integrity of location, design, setting, materials, workmanship, feeling, and association that it had when it was determined eligible in 2010 by the preservation officer. Further, according to the preservation officer in 2010, the building meets the criteria for its association with the broad patterns of development in Savannah. And that's this first one here. That's number one. That's I. Per the preservation officer at that time, automotive-related properties, there were four of them that were added. The decades of the 20th century between world wars saw the rise of the dominance of the automobile. Early auto-related structures blended into the urban environment in a manner that contributed to, rather than detracted from, a large urban setting. Savannah is fortunate to retain a number of interesting auto-related structures from the early to mid 1900s. Four structures were identified, including 301 Alice Street, that fit within this context, are over 50 years old, maintain their historic integrity, and meet criteria A, now considered criteria I or 1. In this ordinance, for the broad pattern of development to the district to include the automotive related development. Although it has now been discovered that the building dates from between circa 1950 as opposed to 1940, the other facts remain the same and the building still falls within the local district's period of significance, which is 1733 to 1960. The National Register or National Landmark period of significance is from 1733 to 1934. We did receive two public comments, both in favor of the demolition. Here's one here. Here's the other one here. All right, and just as a reminder, and you'll see that here, you are City Council is the only body that has the authority to completely remove a contributing building from a contributing building map. So you actually be making a recommendation to City Council. City Council will make the final decision. So that's why you'll see the wording the way it is. So staff recommends that the Historic District Board of Review recommend denial to the mayor and aldermen to change the status of 301 Alice Street from contributing to non-contributing, because the property remains eligible for contributing status under section 3.16.4 criteria for designation, criteria I, and structurally the building appears to be intact. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Does anyone have questions for staff?
I do. You know what the zoning is for this lot?
It is.
Did I miss that somewhere? DC, downtown commercial or?
Downtown commercial.
Is residential allowed in that district?
Yes, all the zoning districts are mixed use. So residential is allowed, yes.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Anyone else? I do not have a list of our procedures here, so I don't know if anyone can print that off. Otherwise, I'm going to keep going. No, it doesn't. It only has the first part. It doesn't have anything, so I don't know. But I'll go ahead and keep going. If there's no other questions for staff, then this is all there is. We'll hear the presentation from the applicant.
And you can
hit plus
in and out.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Harley Krinsky. I'll be splitting my time with the owner, Ralph Anderson. Hello, my name is Harley Krinsky. I am here representing Ralph Anderson on 301 Alice Street. Our petition is to remove the historic designation of this structure to make way for a single family residence, which is more appropriate with the area historically and today. 301 Alice Street was added to a list of historically significant buildings in 2010. And it was identified as contributing example of automobile-centric buildings. The analysis of buildings eligible for designation on the historic map refers to the construction of these buildings as part of the rise of the automobile between the First and Second World Wars. It goes on to describe the automotive-related buildings as contributing rather than distracting from the urban landscape. This study determined the structure located at 301 Alice was built in 1940. However, recent research, which MPC staff now agrees with, has determined that the building was built post-World War II between 1950 and 1953. On the review of the Sanborn maps, prior to 1950s, the site was occupied by timber frame, single family residential structures. Unlike the other structures added at the time, 301 Alice has no automobile-centric characteristics. It is a warehouse with no characteristics of the automobile, for example, service station, gas station, or showroom. These facts alone should disqualify the property from being added to the list in 2010, as the basis for the 2010 designation was incorrect. Furthermore, when this building was built in 1953 and for most of the decades after, it was in a blighted area. Since 2000, this ward has seen a resurgence, taking it back to the beauty and rhythm of a residential neighborhood it was prior to 1950. 301 Alice did not contribute to the urban landscape then and does not contribute to the urban landscape now. In fact, this structure as it sits today impedes the resurgence of the area. The staff has conceded the original research was wrong on the time period, but state that the building still fits into 3.164I, which states, in association with events that have made significant contribution to the broad patterns of our history. This building tore down the original fabric of a once vibrant residential neighborhood to make way for a non-significant, non-contributing block monstrosity in a time of economic blight for decades to come. And now staff is advocating saving that. I cannot see how that makes sense.
There we go.
The structure was constructed from common mass-produced materials, including concrete blocks, steel trusses, and corrugated metal. The overall design of the structure was simple, open-faced rectangle intended to accommodate its function as an auxiliary warehouse, not an automobile-centric building. Furthermore, the structure does not maintain much of its original materials. The garage doors, as you see above, which face Alice Street and Gaston Street, historically would have been wood carriage-style double doors, but have been replaced with a modern rolling service door. To accommodate the modern doors, the door frame has been modified with wood infill. Review of the Sanborn maps indicate that the windows have been altered. Only four windows are marked on the 1953 map, while today both west and east facade feature seven metal frame windows.
Evidence indicates that the original windows would have been wood frame and that the east facade would have also had four wood frame windows. There is also evidence that the windows located on the north and the south facades are not original, as these windows are metal frame with steel headers. It is speculated that they were added when the east and west windows were altered. The Sanborn maps also state the interior was consisted of plaster. There is no plaster remaining within the building. Another modern alteration includes the addition of a drywall constructed office, which was added to the interior in the early 2000s. Further investigation of the building suggests the roof had skylights throughout based on the pictures provided. A structural engineer report that was done and submitted to this board found that in order for the building to be brought up to current code, the current design and aesthetic of the roof would have to change to allow weight loads. This in turn would change the roof soffit and profile considerably due to the fact of additional framing and insulation that would need to be added. This further affirms the fact that the building was built with inferior practices and standards, and if the building's roof design changes, then what is left to save? The doors have been changed, the windows have been changed, the only thing original at that point would be the block walls. In consideration of recent research, the building located at 301 Alice does not meet the criteria established in the 2010 analysis of buildings eligible for designation on the historic map. As demonstrated, the building was constructed in the 1950s rather than the period of significance between the First and Second World Wars. 301 Alice has no characteristics that show the rise of the automobile as previously stated. It was not a service station, gas station, or showroom. The building is also does not maintain its historic integrity in its materials or design, as all the original windows have been replaced, and the primary feature of the carriage-style barn doors on the north and south side have also been replaced. In addition to all these facts, the material that exists on the building today are not even allowed in the district. Cinder block and corrugated metal roof. Our petition has the support of all the neighbors, which submitted a letter to this board and adjacent property owners. We have the support of the Downtown Neighborhood Association. 301 Alice Street should be removed from its local designation to allow for the redevelopment of property into a single family residential unit, which will allow for the continued reestablishment of the community's historic residential landscape. I believe in preservation. And I believe in the MPC's mission to preserve the fabric of our community through preservation. But in this instance, the staff is trying to preserve the wrong history.
Ralph.
Thank you. Could you state your name, please?
I'm Ralph Anderson. I'm the owner of this property, 301 Montgomery Street. I bought this building back in 1998 to move my construction company office and warehouse into it. My company is Savannah Restoration. I started that in 1980. So during that time, I've gotten two Georgia Trust of Preservation Awards, 8 Historic Savannah Awards, and 2 Historic Tybee Island Society Awards. So I've just retired last year. Over the last 42 years, I've been restoring historic buildings. I bought this building. Before I bought the building, I talked to Beth Ryder, and I talked to her several times. We had to work close together back then. She worked for the MPC. I think you may know her. And she assured me that I would always be able to demolish this building, that it had no architectural features and was non-contributing. So this building was going to be my retirement, to demolish this building and install some kind of single family or get it back to residential. The change in the status has had a great impact on my rights and my value of this property. I was never notified about the change in status to my building in 2010. I just recently found out that as a text amendment, it requires no notice to the property owner. The staff report says that a notice appears to have been mailed, but I've had a secretary in that office for over 25 years. I never received any notice. If I would have received the notice in 2010, I would have been here to provide the information, the MPC, with the information that the building was built in 1952. Now the staff says it really doesn't matter because the building qualifies anyway, but that's not the staff's decision to make. This, it should not be assumed that the MPC would have listed this building in back in 2010 had they had the correct information. Since the building was not, does not meet the criteria that the, it was built between the world wars. For these reasons, I believe this building should be delisted. Thank you.
Thank you. Before you leave, let's see if we have any questions from the board. Go ahead.
Madam Chair, when you had the conversation with Beth Ryder, did she provide you a written comment on that?
No, she didn't. I mean, we talked all the time. You know, you had, Beth was about the only thing. You had to come talk to her. I think that, you know, 1980, that predated the MPC board. So it was basically a lot of these, when I first started, it was kind of her decision, and she would tell you how we should, you know, what features we should retain or what we should do. But
okay,
this was always, you know, it's a concrete block with corrugated metal roof.
Right.
I mean, you know, and even before she retired, I mean, I had asked her again about it, and she once again assured me that I would be able to demolish it. So. Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions for the applicant? Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, we are now open for public comment. Please come forward and state your name.
Ryan Jarles, Director of Preservation for Historic Savannah Foundation. Historic Savannah Foundation's board would like to state that we do agree with MPC staff's findings, and we support the recommendation on you all's recommendation to City Council for denial of the petition. We do not feel there have been significant enough number of changes made to the structure to warrant its removal from the contributing resources list after its addition in 2010. We know that several of the materials seem to have been altered, yet no dates for when those alterations have occurred. These are all materials that were available historically and could have been on this building. So I just wanted to reiterate that. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay. And would the applicant like to respond to public comment?
We do know that the north and the south windows for sure are different because they're aluminum base. We know that the garage doors, which is one of the only key characteristics of the building, is completely different. The evidence on the building shows that the four windows on the east and west, which line up with the Sanborn map, show a mortar joint that's in conjunction with what would have been a wood framed opening, and the openings, the additional three openings on the east and west side, don't have those and seem to be cut in at a later date. So it is fairly obvious that these things have changed. And then just to add on to the structural report, the structural report details very specifically that the weight loads of this building are not to code and would have to change, which would change the overall aesthetic of the roof and the soffit, so leaving not much to this building as original character.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we're now going to enter into board discussion. Start with Mr. Thompson.
Well, first of all, I appreciate a very good presentation today about your point of view on this building. And I guess I would comment that the one that struck with me is the automobile orientation of this building compared to the other, like, well, other automobile oriented buildings in town. Is Zunzi's in this one down the street now? Is that where they are? And there's one on Drayton, another one on Drayton Street, a little farther south, that got torn down 1 minute after the City Council approved it to be demolished back a bunch of years ago. So I'm inclined to review this as really a detriment to the neighborhood. Probably shouldn't have been built there in the first place. Yeah, the 50s were pretty bad here in Savannah, although I wasn't here to witness that, but so the stories go. So I'm inclined to vote to allow the building to come off the list. The next step, I don't think it's been mentioned clearly, the next step would go to city council.
Yeah, I did mention that.
Yeah, right, okay, thank you.
Mr. Higgins?
I must disagree. I fully support staff's recommendation for denial. There's been no significant change in this building that staff has found since it was designated in 2010 to now in the 12 years. So I vote, I support staff recommendations.
Thank you. Mr. Altshuler?
The compelling argument for me is that this has never been used as an automotive facility, which makes the whole reason for its designation a little dubious. It's hard for me to accept the continuation of a structure that was erroneously established in terms of what it was. So I would agree with Mr. Thompson, and we move forward on making a change in that regard.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to go ahead and offer some input as well. I feel like the fact that the building hasn't necessarily been properly maintained over the years does not take away from its significance. And it is within the period of significance for the local historic district. To me, the fact that it was or was not part of the automotive category, which apparently it was a sub-building to a dealership at one point, and that's what made it significant. How it's been used over the years has varied, but I still feel that it has significance as part of that context and as part of the neighborhood. It is a commercial area, and I think that the significance of the building is still there. So I also am in support of staff's recommendation. So at this point, we're going to vote.
Well, regarding the public notice in 2010, and I was the executive director of the MPC at that time, and given that there are 110 properties on that action, what probably constituted public notice was a new ad in the newspaper at the time and not individual project notices or public notices. So there's some question in my mind about that process that left the owner in the dark. Even if he had tried to pay attention, it might have been missed. So to me, the ordinance really is trying to address things that look like it might have been a service station for an auto where they pump gas and done that. And so I'm just not too inclined. If this had been full of showroom windows and Cadillacs sitting inside looking out, that would have been auto-oriented to me. But anyway, so that's my extra comments on this issue.
Mr. Higgins?
I guess the only other thing I will add is I think this is an opportunity for some creative reuse of an industrial building that was built within the period of significance, and I haven't seen that explored. So I still stand by my opinion of supporting staff recommendations.
Thank you. Mr. Altshuler?
I live in the neighborhood and pass this property all the time. I wish that we turn it into something of industrial use rather than changing its character entirely. But that's not our decision. It's your property. If I look at the original designation, how it was determined that this was an historic property of an automotive nature, it doesn't seem like it applies, simply. And I'm unmoved by, I really respect the notion of preservation of whatever needs to be preserved. But sometimes things are erroneously preserved. And I think that's the case in this case. So I'm not changing my position.
Okay. I wonder if it would help at all to talk a little bit more about the, because it was brought up by Mr. Thompson, how this was publicly promoted at the time, or I think it might be helpful for the staff to talk a little bit about that procedure, because that was a question.
We can't know for sure, because there, all that was in the file was the letter that was said that it was written to the property owners. The letter said, here's, you know, your property is going to be added to this list. Here's the dates the public meetings are going to be. And at that time, there was absolutely no requirement for public notice. So nothing at all would have had to have gone out. But Mr. Thompson was probably right. There probably was also a newspaper, because Mr. Thompson tended to do that anyway. But we had no like list of who they went to or anything like that. But basically it said, we're going to add your building to this list. Here's your chance to comment at these three different times. So.
Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay. If there's nothing else, then we're going to go ahead and I think the board will entertain a motion for recommendation to the city alderman.
Madam Chair, I'll take a crack at that. Sure, I got the right one I'm looking at here. Okay. Regarding 301 Alice Street, proposal to change of status from a contributing to a non-contributing building, the Historic Board of Review recommends to the City Council to remove 301 Alice Street from the contributing list, making it a non-contributing building, because there's question about the building meeting the criteria for designation. That cover it?
I think so. Probably the way staff has recommended it, we would just remove the word denial in that paragraph. I think that would do it.
Okay.
That might be a little simpler, cleaner way to do it.
Okay, I agree to accept the wording.
Okay.
The staff recommendation with denial being deleted. Thank you.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. I have to go through an individual vote on this. So, Mr. Thompson, how do you vote?
Aye.
Mr. Higgins?
Nay.
I vote nay.
Aye.
Motion fails.
Pardon?
Someone can make another motion.
Motion failed, right?
It failed.
Tie.
Yeah, it was a tie, so it
failed.
Don't you
have to have a 100% vote on a, what, four people?
I'm sorry? What'd you say?
Well, never mind. I don't know. It's been a while.
This is different because it's a recommendation to City Council rather than just voting on, you know, an amendment or voting on an application. So we should entertain the idea of another motion at this point.
Yeah, I mean, Pam?
Yes. Pardon? Okay.
Another motion must be made.
Higgins, with regard to 301 Alice Street, MPC file number 22-005388 COA, recommend that the Historic District Board of Review follow staff recommendations at recommending a denial for the change of status of 301 Alice Street from contributing to non-contributing.
Is there a second? Second. I believe I can second that, correct?
Yes, you can.
I'll make a motion that we continue through.
Yeah, there's already a motion. Yep.
With the motion already, he's already made a motion.
I know, I need to get a second, though.
Yeah, Nan did.
Oh.
I asked if I could do that, and they said I could, so. Kind of tough, we don't have enough people here today.
Yeah.
So we're going to vote on Mr. Higgins' motion to basically support staff's recommendation. How do you vote, Mr. Thompson?
Nay.
Aye.
Aye.
Nay.
Okay, motion fails.
Is there a second?
Second, Higgins.
You. How do you vote, Mr. Thompson?
I vote aye.
Mr. Higgins?
Aye.
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 Thank you. So this application will be continued until the February meeting. Thank you.
Yep, Madam Chair, I'd just like to comment that I think it's important for this decision to have more members of the board present to
right.
do that.
Right, I agree. I think that's the right thing to do. Thank you.
What was the last comment?
Sorry, what was the right thing?
There should be more board members here as part of this decision. It was a difficult day today because there's only four of us here that could vote and discuss the issue.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, we're going to go ahead and go on until Leah comes back in. I mean, until.
I'll go find her.
Okay.
Okay. Next item on the regular agenda is the petition of Ward Architecture and Preservation 22-005386-COA 205 East Hall Street, new construction, small parts 1 and 2, and a special exception.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. This is Ethan Hickman presenting for staff. The petitioner today is requesting approval for demolition of a non-contributing building and new construction, small parts 1 and 2 of the carriage house in the rear of 205 East Hall Street. This is the subject one-story wood frame garage that is up for demolition today. To give more context, right off of Abercorn Street on the lane. The existing garage fronting the rent lane is again considered a non-contributing building within this district. Staff could not find the construction date other than a partial paste-in in this 1916 to 55 Sanborn map. We do not find the garage to be of significance or exceptional importance to the district, and we are in support of the demolition. Going to the submittal packet, the applicant today is requesting the special exception for the standard that reads the building must not be built within 5 feet of a wall or a fence. As you can see here, the proposal is 3 feet 7 inches from the wall to the new build. Staff is supportive of this special exception request because it does fit within the historic configuration of this lane, and it will not be detrimental to the goals of the comprehensive plan. Other than that, we are finding that this project is visually compatible and meets all the design standards that we have in place for the downtown district. And we are recommending approval without any conditions to this project along with the approval of the special exception as seen here. I now open it up to questions from the board. Thank you.
Thank you, Ethan. Does anybody have any questions for staff? Okay, being none, would the petitioner like to come forward? Just make sure you state your name for the record.
My name is Josh Ward with Ward Architecture and Preservation. Thanks staff for their comments and review, and I have nothing further to say unless anybody has any questions for me.
Okay. Does anybody have any questions for Mr. Ward?
Yes.
Go ahead.
On the rear facade of the carriage house, where you have the bathroom window that's covered by the shutters, was there some reason you didn't continue the shutters on the other windows for some visual consistency?
You mean to put actual workable shutters on the other windows? No, that's not something we studied, but we could look at that. I mean, that's not.
It just seems visually odd that you would have one set of closed shutters and no shutters on the rest of the windows on that.
Agreed. I think that's something we could study or add to the project.
Any further questions for Mr. Ward? Okay, thank you. Thanks. Would a member of the public like to come forward? Okay, there being none, then we'll move into board discussion. Since I don't know who you started with last time, Mr. Alshiller. That works out then. Go ahead.
This appears to be in compliance with.
Pull closer.
I'm sorry. This project appears to be in complete compliance with the criteria, and I think you've done a nice job. So I would move to approve the project.
Okay, go ahead, Ms. Taylor.
I'm in agreement with staff's recommendations.
Mr. Higgins?
No comment.
And Mr. Thompson?
I agree with the staff recommendation, and it's interesting. We see one without a lot of list of conditions for a change.
Okay, since nobody really had anything to say the first time around, we'll forego the second unless somebody wants to say anything. Okay, at this time, we'll now entertain a motion.
I move that petition number 2200538 6 COA 205 East Hall Street, new construction, small parts 1 and 2 and special exception. I recommend for approval the demolition of the non-contributing building and new construction of parts 1 and 2 of a carriage house located at the rear of 205 East Hall Street as requested, because the proposed work is visually compatible and meets the standards, and approval for the special exception request of section 7810S4 fences and halls configuration walls, which reads a minimum of 5 feet must be provided between a fence and a building where they are parallel, as requested, because a special exception will not be detrimental to the public interest, health, safety, welfare, function, and appearance of the adjacent uses of general facility vicinity.
Okay, do we have a second on that motion?
Second.
Okay, Mr. Altshuler. Okay, now we will go around. Mr. Thompson, how do you vote?
Aye.
Mr. Higgins?
Aye.
Ms. Taylor?
Aye.
And Mr. Altshuler?
Aye.
Okay, with that, the motion has passed, and parts 1 and 2 and the special exception have been approved. Okay, next item on the agenda is the petition of Sawyer Design 22-005859-COA 301 West York Street, amendment to 22-003325-COA.
Go ahead. Madam Chair, this is Ethan again. Presenting for staff, the petitioner today is requesting approval to amend the previously approved COA at 301 West York Street. This, you guys approved this petition back in September of last year. Originally, what was approved, it was going to be an addition to the non-contributing building for a third floor to allow for 3 townhome units, and then also the new construction of 3 more townhome units along Jefferson Street here. The petitioner comes today to amend this because due to the zoning ruling or the ordinance ruling for 336 Barnard, you cannot have the entrances facing the north-south streets. So therefore, they today are just coming with to amend it for the addition of a third floor to allow for three townhomes on this building. So going back to your last decision, in the pre-meeting, we talked about what were the conditions. This is the condition from the September approval for new construction part two design details. The petitioner has put all of these conditions into the updated drawings and plans to address them during construction. And the only real changes that staff noticed from this amendment is the removal of the standing seam metal roof over unit A. So it will now read from the lane is looking similar to the other units as well. They've added stucco trim bands to this lane facade of the addition. And they've also added HVAC screening on the roof of the addition. Lastly, for the Jefferson Street facade, the window placement has moved on the addition and then also on the second floor as well. Staff finds these changes in the amendment to be minor, and we're still supporting that the board amends this decision. So as you can see here, approval to amend is what amend the previous COA. That's what staff is recommending. I open it up to questions from the board. Thank you.
Does anybody have any questions for Ethan? No? Okay, thank you. Would the petitioner please come forward and state your name for the record?
Hello, my name is John Leonard with Sawyer Design. I'm representing the owners of 301 West York Street and here to help answer any questions that you guys may have. Also, I'd like to thank staff for helping us in getting everything together for this review. For the overall changes from the last submission, just like Ethan stated, we basically removed the three new units on the Jefferson Street side. The main building that is there is pretty much remaining as is. We are planning on adding the third level to that. The only other really change, which was part of the previous approval, is all of the existing metal or steel stair work that's on the back of the building. We're still going to remove that. Other than that, if anyone has any questions, just let me know.
Does anybody have any questions for the petitioner?
I just have hopefully an easy one. One of the criteria for the last COA was to reach out to the neighboring property owners.
Right.
Has that been done?
We have not actually spoken to them since. We did speak to them at the meeting during the last get together. We do have notes on our cover page of our drawing that we still will meet with them during, prior to and during the construction process. We also have notes that are on the drawings about the engineering testing and everything that we will do, which was part of that recommendation previously.
Okay. Does anybody else have any questions for the petitioner?
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Is there a member of the public that would like to comment on this project? Make sure you state your name for the record.
Hi, my name is Andrew Jones. I think this is a brief comment. I noticed that the windows are changing on the Jefferson side. Isn't there a requirement that the center line of the windows align vertically, which I believe is the current condition? So if that in fact is the requirement, then they would need a special exception in order not to only the front facade. Okay, thank you.
Does anybody else in the public like to make a comment? Does the petitioner want to respond to public comment?
No.
Okay. At this time, we'll now go into board discussion and no further public comment will be taken. Mr. Thompson? No comment. Mr. Higgins?
No comment.
Ms. Taylor?
No comment.
And Mr. Alschiller?
No comment.
Wow. We're full of it today. We're going so fast today because we have people missing. At this time, we'll now entertain a motion.
Higgins. I move the Savannah Historic District Board of Review follow staff recommendations to approve an amendment to the previous approved COA 22-003325 for 301 West York Street as requested because the work is visually compatible and meets the standards.
Okay, do we have a second?
Second.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Taylor. Okay, Mr. Thompson, how do you vote?
Aye.
Mr. Higgins?
Aye.
Ms. Taylor?
Aye.
And Mr. Alshuler?
Aye.
Okay, with that, the petition has been approved as requested. The final item, the final item on the regular agenda is the petition of Felder and Associates, 22-005856-COA, 313-316 West River Street, alterations and additions.
Hi, this is Jamie Zarillo presenting the staff recommendation for 313 West River Street. So for some background context, this is an amendment to a previous COA, which was approved on December 11th, 2019, to redesign this front entryway, as well as to replace some window choices that were previously approved. Some further background context, just to add on to stuff that we mentioned in the pre-meeting. So these, on this side of the north elevation, which fronts River Street, the tin shutters were removed in a COA that was approved in 1978, which is just these two windows. And these two remained, the tin shutters remained on this side, and the petitioner is proposing to keep them, just replace the windows and keep the opening and the shutters the same. So with that, let me scroll down. This is the proposed entryway. Staff finds that it's visually compatible and it meets the standards as it's respective towards the more industrial character of the architecture in this area. They're using glass and metal for this canopy, as well as having a similar door design as the proposed new windows to face River Street. The only major comment staff had was about the proposed canopy sign. We just asked that the petitioner provide the square footage so we can see if it meets the standards for that. And a small comment is there's a blade sign in this rendering, but it's not being currently reviewed under this COA. The petitioner is proposing to have it reviewed later on. So with that, I'll open it to any questions.
Thank you, Jamie. Does anybody have any questions for staff?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. On the sign ordinance, I'm not sure they can have both of those signs on the same side of the, I know we're not reviewing it today, but if they come back later, if that's true, they probably should know that. You can have the one above the, on the canopy, or you can have the other one, but not both, I think.
You can actually have what's a principal use sign, which would be the standing one, and you can have an awning sign. So you actually could have both of those.
Same side. Okay.
Yep.
All right. Thank you.
You couldn't have two principal use signs. So let's say that if that one wasn't on the awning and it was on the building, you couldn't have it. It's okay. Technicality.
All right.
I definitely can tell by looking at the one on the awning that it's way bigger than what's allowed mm-hmm. for an awning sign. So, but that would have to be a...
To clarify, then, we're not approving the awning sign.
Right.
That's just there for information.
Right. Is that right?
No, the awning, they're proposing the awning sign as part of this. They're not proposing the blade sign, which is this white.
Okay,
silhouette.
So we have an unspecified size, then, of something we're approving?
It's a condition that they provide the square footage and that it conforms to the standards to be approved by staff.
Okay,
before construction.
All right, so noted. Thanks.
Does anybody else have any questions for staff? Thank you, Jamie. Would the petitioner like to come forward?
Hi, I'm Ryan Klaus with Felder and Associates. Thank you, staff, for your review and your comments. We understand the signage, and that both of them are actually still sort of up in the air, not settled yet. But as a condition for that front awning sign, there will be something there. So we understand that we will address it and provide the square footage for it and reduce the scale of it, since we understand that it'll have to be smaller. I don't think I have any further comments, but any questions, please let me know.
Okay. Does anybody have any questions for the petitioner? Thank you. Would a member of the public like to comment?
Ryan Giles, Historic Savannah Foundation. HSF does hold an easement on this property, and so our ARC did review this project this previous Monday. They did have some simple concerns regarding the awning, mainly the overall size of the awning and the size of the brackets, but those were very minimal concerns. So if any items were to be changed, though, or amended in the future, or if you decide anything, the petitioner has fully agreed to work with us on that, and just wanted you to know. Thank you.
Thank you. Do you want to respond to public comment?
No.
Okay. At this time, we'll now go into board discussion. Mr. Altshuler, I will start with you.
No comment.
Okay. Ms. Taylor?
I am going to say that I think this design is very appropriate, and I think it's really fresh looking, and I think the context of where this building is located and what has been done is perfect. So I just wanted to throw that out because it can always happen. but other than that, I agree with staff's recommendations and I have nothing else to add.
Okay. I usually don't comment, but I'll echo that comment. I love the new design of the steel windows on the River Street. I think it's much more appropriate than what was proposed before. So I was happy to see that. Mr. Higgins.
No additional comment.
And Mr. Thompson.
Well, just I don't get out much comment. For the board, what is underground or Savannah Underground? Is it a bar? Is it a bunch of stores?
You'll have to ask the petitioner.
Does it exist? Does it exist now?
Not that I know of.
Okay. But, never mind then.
You can ask him after the meeting. Okay. Does anybody else have any further comments? No. Okay. Yes, please. And then we will now entertain a motion.
I recommend that the Historic District Board of Review approve alterations and additions to the building located at 313 West River Street as an amendment to a previous COA under the file number 19-004089 COA, with the following condition to be submitted to staff for final approval, because otherwise the work is visually compatible and meets the standards. And that is to provide the total sign area for the proposed canopy sign and ensure it meets the standards.
Okay. Do we have a second on that motion?
Thompson, second.
Okay. Mr. Altshuler, how do you vote?
Aye.
Ms. Taylor?
Aye.
Mr. Higgins?
Aye.
And Mr. Thompson?
Aye.
Okay. With that, the petition has been approved. Okay. Moving on to the approved staff reviews. I'll acknowledge and read through all of those and then we can voice vote. The petition of Donna Howard, 22-005338-COA, 24 Drayton Street Telecommunications Equipment Upgrade. The petition of Virginia Hunter, 22-005486-COA, 407 West Charlton Street Re-Shingle Roof. The petition of Doug Bean Signs, 22-005849-COA, 427 East River Street Non-Illuminated Projecting Sign Above Entrance. The petition of Hellcat Construction, 22-005553-COA, 304 East Hall Street, amend 21-001547-COA, window brand. And lastly, the petition of Ellsworth Design Build, 22-005686-COA, 317 West York Street, brick repointing and repainting. All in favor of acknowledgement, please.
Actually, Madam Chair.
Yeah.
Just a note that I think there's a typo.
There is, yeah.
13.13 has 24 Drayton Street underneath the 407 West Charlton.
Oh, okay. Do we
say that again? What was that?
So the decision that was attached to number 13 is for number 12. And then there's also a typo on number 14 in the title.
Oh, 24 is attached to like several of them. Can you fix that, Bree, please?
Okay.
Sorry. Okay. Bree will fix that.
Okie dokie. Vote of acknowledgement, please say aye.
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 Okay. Next on the agenda is work performed without a certificate of appropriateness. There's three separate reports there where it was done without the COA, where it exceeds the COA, and then if it's work that was done that's inconsistent with the COA for you to review. No report on items deferred to staff. And then under, is that under wrong thing too?
Yeah, that's under wrong.
Okay, so 2021 and 22 will be moved up. So then that means that there's no notices, proclamations, or acknowledgments. Under other business, we have the nominating committee is supposed to nominate or to announce the chair and vice chair nominations for this year. So who's going to do that? Mr. Thompson?
I was told it was you.
Yeah. Well, that was you that was going to tell us. So if you would tell us.
Thank you.
Okay. And then who is vice chair? Oh, for vice chair? Okay, Ms. Gwynn? Okay.
I assume that's to follow your the current vice chair's tenure? Or mm-hmm. is it immediate? I don't know.
I don't know, to be honest with you. I'm not sure how that works. Remember when I got appointed to temporarily be vice chair? I don't know how long it was supposed to be. If it was just supposed to be to the end of last year?
Well, it's supposed to be a year.
But you would have to, but your year is up.
My year is up.
So
her term is up, so she's being replaced anyway, so it doesn't matter, right? Your term is up? Isn't that what you're saying?
Summer 2023.
Okay. So you could either...
Well, could we do this? I mean, is there any reason why she can't take over at this point? I mean...
Well, that's what I was going to say. You would have to recuse.
I don't need to stay on, and I don't need to step up. I'm stepping down.
She stepped up temporarily. So basically, I guess what you'd have to do is renounce vice chair, right? And then Karen would be voted in. Is that correct? Yeah.
Yeah, we just have to vote her,
right.
Karen in.
So we had to announce this meeting and the next meeting we vote. So okay. We'll kind of. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll probably just have to verbally say for the record next meeting that you want to step down and then we'll vote her in.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Does she want to be? Do you know?
She does.
Yeah, she does. Mm-hmm. Okay.
We've had discussions. Yeah, we've had discussions with her. okay, so that's under unfinished business.
Well, Madam Chair, I'd just like to comment that our discussion in the nominating committee, I had the impression that Nan was going to be a short timer.
Yes. Right.
And that's why we.
Yes, that's why. Okay, yes, right. You're correct.
I just wanted to clarify that for everybody.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Procedurally, you know, what we needed to do. Okay, so then the next HDBR pre-meeting is Wednesday, February 8th at noon here, and then the regular meeting starts at 1 on February 8th. Okay, meeting adjourned.